Good morning. Excuse me.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
Steve, you're here.
You have me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I didn't expect to see you this morning.
I resurrected.
That's a great strategy for everybody to resurrect themselves.
No, boy. Every day, in every way.
So we're just waiting for Stanley, I guess.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jeff, go ahead and do that one more time. I saw you as an attendee. And once you do that, then I'm going to allow you to speak. So just call back in. And you were able to hear us, I presume, correct? All right, so go ahead and call back in, and I'll be able to turn on your mic, okay? You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. That was Jeff Phillips. He's calling in, and for whatever reason, I'm only able to get him to attend, to call in as an attendee, but I will be able to turn on his mic once he calls in.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And it looks like we have two attendees. Laura Bloom is attending and Peter Finkel are both attending.
Welcome, Laura.
Aaron, are we going to be able to see Laura and Peter?
They are joining as attendees, so no, they are not panelists like all of us are. They will be able to listen and watch. Jeff is attending, but unfortunately I can't get his... Okay, his mic is now unmuted. Jeff, can you go ahead and speak?
Yes, hello.
Okay, so Jeff is also set up as an attendee. For whatever reason, I can't get him to participate as a panelist, but he can both listen and speak. So I guess, Andy, feel free to take it away at your leisure.
All right. Let's call to order this public arts meeting on October 16th. welcome all.
Could I interrupt for just a minute? I got bumped out of my Zoom. So I'm not in. Can you help me?
We can still see you, Sandy.
We can see and hear you.
Shoot.
Can you hear us?
Interruption.
You're back. Can you hear us?
Back. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll continue. So first off the bat, thank you, Sandy, for your years as chair. As all of you know, this is my first meeting as chair, and I hope to live up to the standard that Sandy set forth. That's a tall order, but here we go. So first up is...
Can you hear me?
Yes, Jeff.
Okay, I'll be quiet now. Thank you.
Item number two on the agenda is the approval of minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look those over?
Yes.
Yep.
Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Yes.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on to item number three, public forum. Do we have anybody making public forum today? It would appear not.
So this would be where we would want to, so Peter and Laura are both here as attendees. I didn't know if you wanted to take comment from either of them.
Certainly, this is their chance.
Who would you like to begin with?
Laura.
Go ahead, Laura.
Can't hear you, Laura.
Okay, I was unmuting. What would you like to hear about?
Well, welcome. You're interested in possibly becoming a commissioner, yes?
Uh-huh.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what your background is?
Sure. Let's see, specifically pertaining to art, I have a degree in architecture. I've had my own business for a little over 20 years. I work with Stanley at Art Authority in production. Let's see, I have a minor in art history. And I've lived here in Ashland for about 26 years. Three kids. My personal life, my youngest is a sophomore at Ashland High, and my other two kids are older adult kids, and I guess that's it. I'm not sure what else you'd like to know.
That's great. That's great. Just wanted to give you an opportunity to speak your mind.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Peter, is there anything you would like to add?
Yes. I know I'm on the agenda, so I'm not quite sure how, okay, if you want to include me at that time.
I would.
Talking about possible collaboration, but let me just mention now that if it's easier for you to just have the commissioners talk, I can email you after the meeting some ideas I have. And then I also noticed that the city public art collection brochure revision is on the agenda. And I made some notes about that I would be happy to email you, the group, after the meeting.
Sounds great. And yeah, when we get to the agenda item involving you, yeah, we'll talk in detail about how we can help you.
Okay. Great.
Okay, perfect. Let's move on to liaison reports. Steve?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I am going to just make this pretty brief. Elections are coming up. Vote locally, nationally. We have a new finance director on board. She is quietly burrowing her way into city finances, and I'm gaining a full understanding of that in preparation for girding herself for the budget process, which has actually already started in the city and then really gets takes full flight in February and March with a new council, new mayor, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of new and I think potentially exciting things coming down the road in that department. At our last meeting, I am pleased to announce that the city council spent more of your money. Actually, it wasn't your money, it was a community development block grant and the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. We doled out some money to Aura, the housing folks, a pretty good chunk. And then we doubled the amount from a $30,000 to $60,000 that we doled out to the Maslow Project, which helps very, very instrumental in helping teenagers and their families navigate through homelessness, and particularly in light of the fire that hit our area. And they do a wonderful job. They've done a wonderful job even before COVID and before the fire, but now they are really being called upon to fill that gap. And anyway, I was pleased that those move forward. The last thing I'm going to talk about is we are moving forward on the rehabilitation of the community center and Pioneer Hall. We authorized an RFQ to go out, and that process is, as you well know from our experience, is not going to be quick, but it is moving, and there seems to be general agreement, at least in this city council. And I would think in future city councils that that we move forward on that project and bring those buildings back to a useful life within our city. And that's about all the big hitter points. There's always little things. One of note I want to speak to, because it was quite an article in the paper, those of you that read the paper, about the raise your hand if you read the article about the Stop and Shop in downtown. Anybody? The liquor license issue? Okay. There's kind of a backstory there. Ty O'Mara works with these folks, and he has worked, bent over backwards to try to get the folks to change their inventory or do, you know, some kind of a forward-looking thing. It's the last thing that we want to do in this town is to inhibit somebody's ability to do business. But over and over and over again, those single-use malt liquors or whatever they are, I'm not exactly sure what they are, high alcohol content, was a favorite of some of the travelers that come through town, and it has been a continuing problem. Now, all the city of Ashland does is recommend to the OLCC that the liquor license not be renewed. We don't have the power to rescind it ourselves. They generally they generally regard a municipality's recommendation and take it, but it's not 100%. So one would hope there would be a mechanism where this business could take a firm purpose of amendment and come around and maybe get their license renewed at some point in the future. But it was a continuing problem downtown, and that's kind of how it's dealt with. It was surprising to me how many liquor licenses that we did approve. I think it was upwards of 145. When you look at the list of places that sell liquor in this town, it would give the Women's Christian Temperance Union fits, because there's a lot of liquor sold in this town. But for good reason. It's the lubrication of our world, and particularly of late, it's a useful help. So anyway, that's just a little inside story on the Stop and Shop. It wasn't we've been over backwards to try to make it work, and it hasn't, and so there we are. And that's it.
Thank you, Steve. Your reports are a personal favorite of mine. So thank you for always providing us with a keen insight into the workings. Let's see. Next is Parks and Rec liaison Joel Heller, who's not here. So we'll move on to community development. Aaron?
Yeah, I only have two quick things to mention. Working with IT, I've now got set up a new email address, which is public_art@ashland.or.us. And the intention of this is to be the email address to be used in support of the hub RFQ. So it is not combined with my normal work inbox. And the second one is that a webpage has been created. Currently, I think the URL is ashland.or.us/hub RFQ. It might be hub_RFQ. That can be changed. I just did it as a test to make sure that it worked. It's an alias. So what happens is if you type in ashland.or.us/hub RFQ, for example, it will take you to that page. But when you get there, the URL is going to change. And that's because of our website setup. The alias is just to get you there. And once you land there, it'll say something more like, you know, topic ID, SSIB, and then some random number. But at least the address itself will be something that is short and concise, and that can be customized to whatever y'all would like it to be. Like I said, I just used what I used as a tester. So if the group could also decide what that ending URL ought to be, that would be great. And those are the only two items I had to mention.
So is that new email address the one we should attach to call for entries and things like that?
Correct. That I set that address up for the intention of being where those entries would be sent to.
Excuse me, would you dictate that again, please?
Yeah, it's public_art@ashland.or.us.
Thanks.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's move on to project updates, the power of art. Who would like to speak on that?
Well, I have a few comments, excuse me, to make on that project with Aaron. If Aaron can pull up the PowerPoint that I sent, and I'm not sure how I can control it with my iPad, but let's give it a try. There's just two slides to share regarding the PowerPoint, and then there's a conversation we can have regarding the voiceover as well. But yeah, let's see if we can get to the PowerPoint. Got it. Want to go to slide number one?
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. How about if we go to slideshow up at the top?
Are you still seeing? I'm not sure if the share is showing the show. Yeah, is it?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Okay. We previously had an image near the beginning of the PowerPoint that was the Mount Rushmore imagery. And Jennifer pointed out it would be nice to see something that's a little bit more inclusive and perhaps you know, with a feminine presence. And I couldn't think of anything more iconic than certainly the Statue of Liberty. This is a suggestion. It's not necessarily, this isn't necessarily the final image, but I couldn't, this is the best I came up with as far as an iconic image in that regard. So we can, I suppose, talk about that if necessary. If you want to advance to the next slide, and we'll see how this projects. Steve, when you and I worked on this, we had a series of the headliners, if you will, of each section of the presentation pop up one at a time, and you will see now. And at the end of that control, you were able to click to bring up which or the next headline. At the end of that series of, then all of the headers came on as sort of a final part to that activity. And we have decided to just eliminate the showing them all at once, since we've already gone through individually when it's being presented going forward in the future. So Aaron, if you wouldn't mind clicking once, then clicking again and again, we'll go on through one more or two more, I think, there, and there, and then click again and it goes out. Well, don't click again, actually. So then so that's the ends of the sequence of that slide. That's all we wanted to, these are the two major edits to the presentation since the last time we showed it. And that was what I wanted to share today with the visual part of that. As far as the voiceover, and Steve, anything you want to suggest going into this conversation? As far as the voiceover, I believe at some point we're going to meet later this month, you and I, Steve, with Tony, I hope I pronounced his name right. Is it Hild? Hill? And Hild. With OSF.
How do you spell that, please?
H-E-A-L, is that correct?
H-E-A-L-D.
Thank you.
Okay. And talk about what he could do or would be able to do to help us with his part of the voiceover. Another part of that conversation that I had with Steve, and we shared this earlier in discussions about the presentation, that there is an advantage to having both a male and a female voice, you know, alternating roughly in some manner throughout the presentation. So we anticipate that Tony might have a good suggestion for someone who could could work with us on this, including, you know, using his voice as well. So we don't have someone for that yet, but that would be part of the conversation that we hope to have later this month. He's apparently out of town until the end of October. So anything you wanted to say to that, Steve, or Sandy?
I can kind of flesh that out a little bit more. It was a great conversation with Tony. We went through the PowerPoint. He read, quietly read the narrative. And, you know, I've got to say, and this is a pat on the back of the folks who initiated this project and who selected the slides and so on. He just thought it was fantastic. He loved it right off the bat. It wasn't, you know, I had to think about it or anything. He just, his first impression when we got through with it was just, and he's very much wants to be part of this project. The other good news is he checked with his, with OSF. They have a wonderful sound studio with tremendous technical capacity. And he has checked with them, and all we would have to do is pay a technician. And he says there's several technicians that are looking for work right now, a very nominal fee. And the sound studio would come at no charge because we're a nonprofit. So that's a great piece that he's offering. Also, his part of it would be a very nominal fee. So I think that for under $400, we could probably get this whole thing narrated and dusted up and ready for presentation, which I think is really a great find. He really liked the project, and Tony's done over, upwards of 500 books for Blackstone Audio and then a place back in New York. And so he's well versed in narration and timing and sound bites and so on and so on. So he's out of town. He won't be back till the end of the month, and then we're going to connect and move forward with this project. So it's going to be a great collaboration. He's well known in town. Any of you that saw Boston Legal, remember years ago with William Shatner and a young James Spader, and he was the irascible judge in Boston Legal. And just for a little bit of trivia there, but
he was anyway. Also the mean spirited psychiatrist in Silence of the Lambs.
What is the time horizon that we're expecting to need to cut loose funds? Because I would need to talk to admin about the service, whether there's going to need to be a contract for services or what. What kind of timeline are we expecting this on?
Well, I would think that I would move forward in November. That's a good question to ask. Is there a minimum amount that almost becomes a, for the private business folks out there, a petty cash item?
I'm going to have to ask.
Okay, good. If you could come back with that information, that'd be great and help us out. And by next meeting, we should have a better idea of the time frame and the principles involved in this.
Okay, sounds good.
But it's a great project, and you all should be proud of that.
Would it be helpful right now just to get a consensus among the commissioners on a yay or nay on the concept of adding a female voice, just so that you can move forward?
I would suggest that it's a great idea, because if we add additional slides or some kind of an additional concept to the project as a whole, and Tony isn't available, then we have a precedent of someone else, and we could easily add a third person without it looking like an add-on. So I would suggest it's great.
I think it's a good idea. I think the other benefit is that it becomes more like a conversation. If you have two people, not just a female person, but I think it becomes a little more intimate that way.
The other thing to do too would be to, that we give direction as a commission that this is something that we would like to see move forward, and then the OSF and Tony would definitely have a guidance on that, whether they feel like it would work and how it would work and so on. And giving OSF's offerings over the last 10 years, I can't imagine them not lining up with something like this.
Anybody else?
I would say it'd be great to have a female voice as well. So, of course, then the I'm not exactly sure what Anthony Hald is proposing as his rate. So that would, of course, come into conversation with whoever would be partnering, in that it would be equal and realistic if it's a working person's voiceover. I do know two women personally, and maybe there's many of you who do, who have or do work for OSF and do voiceover work.
Great.
Well, let me let's visit with Tony when he gets back, and continue to round this out, and we will to be continued.
Okay, sounds great. I am guessing nobody has any opposing viewpoints to that, and we can agree to move forward on his discussion with a female voiceover. Okay. Okay. All right. Let me talk briefly about the map project phase one on the medallions. We just were able to compile our thoughts about the revision process, and I compiled those and sent those to Aaron, who then sent them to Jennifer just last Monday. So I will be waiting to hear from Jennifer on her ideas for that, any questions she might have, and they will move forward with the last set of revisions, which we'll look over. And once we sign off on those, the plaques can go into fabrication. So that's pretty exciting. But I do not have a timeline on that. COVID-19 completely took any scheduled items out at the kneecaps. And I think there's extra understanding required on both ends to flex with whatever the dates were in the contract terms. And we're just proceeding with a lot of understanding towards what the other party can do. So I feel really positive about the way things are going with that. And I look forward to seeing the next set. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Andy, I'm going to...
I don't have any questions.
I'm going to bow out, Andy, here at this point.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Yep, carry on, y'all. Great work.
Yes, Steve.
yes, Jeff, go ahead.
I thought they looked really good, the ones I saw on the that you sent out. They look really good design and very clear and dimensional.
Okay. I agree with you. Let's see. Moving on to the map project phase two, the hub sculpture. Sandy and Tom, how is that going? And Tom, your RFQ process, would you like to speak on that?
Yes, I would. If Aaron is still hanging in with us, can you show that last slide, which has the yeah, and then go back up to slideshow. Oh, there you go. That's okay. There we go. So this is the latest iteration of the e-blast to basically draw people to go to the website, which thanks, Aaron. We'll get that URL figured out. it's perhaps... in this meeting, it depends on what you're looking at. It might be a little hard just, you know, basically to read it at this point. But overall, I wanted to point out a couple of things. It's a lot more informative than the first idea that I tossed around with Sandy. So I appreciate what she's been able to do to make this more robust. One other thing I wanted to point out, and I hadn't pointed out to you, Sandy, either. I have a button down below the copy that says click here, but literally anywhere within that image, you could click and it'll send you to the website that's going to have the RFQ. So I just wanted to point that out. Otherwise, I think we're getting closer. I don't know if there's going to be any more edits, but I think we're getting pretty close here.
Tom, this is Jennifer.
Yes.
Would you mind just reading it for me? Just, I would like anyone who's listening, and it's also, my eyes aren't great. So if you could just read through, this is pretty short. So if you could read the screen.
Sure. everybody have their popcorn, right? Let's see. Call for public artists, obviously. City of Ashland Public Arts Commission invites you to respond. Request for qualification for a site-specific public art installation. Site, Ashland, Oregon. Entry deadline, Monday, December 7, 2020, 5 p.m. The City of Ashland Public Arts Commission seeks to commission an artist/artist-led team to design, fabricate, and install contemporary freestanding site-specific artwork to serve as a focal point anchoring numerous historical sites within the city's historic railroad district. This artwork this artwork will represent the second phase of a multi-phase project entitled Marking Ashland Places, which is intended to provide a connection to the history of Ashland on today's landscape. The selection process includes two phases. Phase one, submission of qualifications and artist selection. Phase two, commissioning of artwork. And then finally at the bottom, the budget, phase one, $1,500. Phase two, $25,000. And there you go, click here.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
So I have one question. When they do click in, then they will see the site-specific spaces that we're talking about, correct?
When so, they click, go ahead. Go ahead,
Aaron. Yeah, Tom, you can speak to it as well. What I was going to say is when they click, it's going to drive, as I understand it, to the landing page that I mentioned earlier. Presently, I have some copy that I received from Sandy that is on that page. Like I said, it's currently hidden. We're limited a little bit to what can go there in terms of the structure of how it looks. It has to work within the city's web product, but it can be whatever you'd like. I presume there will be a download for the PDF of the RFQ, and I would look for direction from you all on what text you would like to have there when they arrive and what graphics.
So thank you. Is it not acceptable to just have the PDF or the the RFQ? You know, they land there and they're simply the RFQ.
If you want it to be that simple, that is absolutely fine. I can show you what a web page looks like on the city's website that has a download. And basically, it's a box that's rectangular, about a third of the screen, has a PDF icon and the name of the file. So if you want it to be simply that simple as just being a PDF to the RF, a download link to the PDF, that is fine. If you would like there to be some explanatory text or maybe this copy again with the download below it, I just need direction from y'all.
Okay, so I think I'm was not clear. Can you not just find the RFQ printed on that landing page?
If all you wanted is the text of the RFQ, then it would be the city's banner and then the text of the RFQ. It could be that simple as well. But I presume you want to give them an opportunity to be able to download the document as a PDF as well, don't you?
Yes.
You can do both.
So, all right, so that answers that question. Can you also add the attachments so that they can download?
Of course.
Okay. All right. All good. So I
would think, though, wouldn't it be better to simply have a single PDF that has all of the attachments combined? I mean, we can make it be a la carte where they can grab the RFQ and the attachments, but would you not prefer it to be a single large document with all of it together?
So how do they access, for instance, the photographs? Are you telling me that they're included and they will be printed once you download the RFQ, all the rest of it, that the city contract?
So presently we have the RFQ and then we have a couple of different attachments.
Right.
If you would like it to be a menu where they have the option to download those each independently, we can do that. But I would presume you would want any interested party to be able to easily download the entirety. And so I could combine all of them, the RFQ, the pictures, the other addenda, and have that all be one document if you would like.
Okay. Right.
I like one document.
I think yes. That makes sense too.
So there are a couple of parts to this process. The first was that Stanley took on was to convert all of our artists, galleries, institutional emails, which we have used in two prior RFQs, onto a Excel spreadsheet, which sets it up so that we can, once the send in blue, once we can access the information that we can pull from the send in blue, for instance, who opened the RFQ, who responded to it, bad email and so forth, that we can note in the Excel spreadsheet. So Stanley has done that. I constructed the invitation that Tom read to you. And so that's one invitation to individual artists and artist-led teams. I'm going to do two more to the galleries, which will add additional verbiage to ask them to pass on the information or post it. You know, I haven't really organized that yet. And then another to the institution, which would be an association, a university, again, asking them to forward the availability of this RFQ to the appropriate group. So those two parts combined with what Tom has done is our plan, our total plan for releasing the RFQ.
If I could, go ahead.
The spreadsheet as it currently exists is a Google sheet that is shareable. The reason I did that is that it allows easy additions by anybody. So I guess my question is, can I share that that list with everybody here? And if you have any institutions or individual artists that you want to add, you could do it.
Stanley, would you mind sending that to me and I can distribute it to the group?
Yep.
Thank you.
If I can speak to the eBlast service, the back-end analytics. I don't know if I talked about this before. Maybe I have, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. But the back-end analytics will allow us to, after the eBlast has been sent, will allow us to log in, or not log in, but see numbers, X amount of eBlasts were sent, a certain percentage were opened, a certain percentage were clicked on and went to the website. There'll be a list of bounced emails. In other words, the email address is no longer working. And there was one other category. We get these back-end analytics, which is kind of nice. It's going to help us keep our data up to date and when we go forward with other projects as well. So it's a nice feature. That's basically what I wanted to say. It gives us that information.
to tack onto that, the city's website has no such ability to be able for me to report back to you how many downloads of the RFQ has happened. That's going to be something that's going to be an unknown to us.
Yep.
All right, Tom, can you clarify how we can pick that up if the city is not able to do that?
Let me back up just a bit. I sent Aaron the login credentials to the service as well. But anyway, after the e-blast goes out, I don't remember if it's 48 hours later or if it's an ongoing report. Because if you think just a bit, the details or the data is more accurate after a few days when people have had time to be active with the emails. So perhaps it's 48 hours or maybe 3 days later, there'll be data available at Sendinblue that Aaron or I could access and share with the group or review the data, that sort of thing. And that's how that would happen. But it's a little bit of time after the e-blast goes out to give people enough time to interact with the e-blast.
Okay, so that helps a lot. So you go back and you will access the platform, and there'll be various pages where you can gather the information. How long is that available? I know that this is a free service. How long will they maintain our information?
I don't know how long. In the past, it's all connected to what's referenced as a ad campaign or a campaign. And so if, let's say a year from now, we did another, a similar process for a new project. I believe we can go back to this campaign at any point, and that data will remain part of that campaign. I don't think it gets, pretty sure it doesn't get deleted. It becomes part of the process. So we're good with that information, I believe. I haven't read anything to the contrary, and my experience has never been any of that information goes away. So we should be good with that information for, I don't know, however long we have an account. Now, one of the key things that you just brought to mind that I don't know if I mentioned before, this particular service and the other service we were looking at first, MailChimp, and I think there might be other services as well, but these two are highly rated. They provide a free service with limitations, meaning that we can do what we're doing with Sendinblue, and the limitation to the service to be able to use it for free is that we don't send more than 300 emails out on a given day. So let's say we had 400 e-blasts ready to go next week, or no, November 9th. So we send out 299, and then we send out 101 the next day or something like that, and it's still free. MailChimp was similar. You had up to so many emails a month. I forget the exact number. It might have been 1,000 or something. And that keeps the end user within the limitations so that it's still free. If we want to purchase, I don't see that happening, right? But if we wanted to purchase into any of these services, they provide other services within the scope of what they do. And I suppose I could look at that at some point and send you Sandy, I guess, or you, Andy, if you wanted to see that, what it is, what we could get if we were to subscribe. But at least for our services, and because we don't have a super robust email list compared to a corporation or a business that has a really lengthy, 1,000 or more email list. Since we don't have that, I think we're in really good shape for using this stuff for, you know, for free with Send in Blue. So just wanted to comment on where it cuts off from the point where it's free to where you end up having to pay. So otherwise, that's what we get for free.
That's great. Thanks for researching that. You know, we issue RFQs so infrequently that it doesn't seem necessary to subscribe to any service, and it looks like this is going to be more than adequate.
Same thing I was thinking.
Aaron, can you tell me why I show up as a phone when I talk?
So like that's Jeff, the 818 number. It just happened that he happened to make some noise when you spoke.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else on the Hub Sculpture RFQ to be discussed, folks? Okay. Let's talk about item number 6, the PAC work plan. Last month, Peter spoke about his work writing articles on each and every piece of public art in Ashland. He's got the Walk Ashland article in the paper as well as his blog. I think it's fantastic work, Peter. And what I wanted to discuss with you all was ways that we can support Peter in this. And if Peter had any recommendations or comments about how he can be supported. Peter, would you like to go ahead?
Hang on, let me promote him to a panelist. Peter, if you go ahead and unmute, you should be able to, there you go.
Okay, oh my gosh.
There you are.
Live and in person. yes, I will just briefly mention a couple of collaboration ideas that I came up with, and then you may have additional ones, or you may want to expand on some of these. Just for example, in the past, I have given, I think, 2 presentations about Ashland history to service clubs here in town. And that would seem to me to be there are many service clubs and other kinds of groups like school groups, college, SOU groups, tourist groups, hotel and B&B staff. And if we're talking about educating people about public art in Ashland, I'm planning to reach out to all of those groups about the public art articles. And I was thinking that we could, you know, coordinate on that. And maybe I could do a presentation. They usually like to have like 30 to 40 minute presentations. Maybe I could do a presentation either with a member of the Public Arts Commission or with one of the artists, one of the public art artists. That I think would potentially reach many people. And I would like to make a suggestion I watched the public art presentation, that PowerPoint last meeting, and it is incredible. I just want to say that. However, it's also, 20 minutes long or so. And so I hope you don't mind me suggesting maybe like a 5 to 7 minute version be created, because I think something like that, if it were a part of presentations to community groups, would make it even more powerful. So just a thought. Number 2, and I'll go more quickly on the others. Number 2, public art walking tours, both for residents and for tourists. could be tied in with Oregon Shakespeare Festival packages. I mean, there's just so many possibilities. Number three, a contest, maybe with the sneak preview or the locals guide or the Ashland Tidings. What is your favorite piece of public art and public artwork? Try to get community involvement. Number four, there's already a kind of a bare bones public art page on the city website, and I would be happy to work with your group to expand that. Two possibilities would be the simplest one, just linking to one of, you know, to my article in the description of each piece. And then it could either be that and, or I could just write maybe a 100 or 200 word short version of my article about each piece that would be on the website. That's a thought. Have artists speak about, have a day when two or three artists or 5 or 10 artists who are local speak about their specific pieces at their work of art and create some buzz and both for residents and for tourists again. So that's that's my brainstorming so far, and I'm open to lots more ideas.
Well, that's a great start. What I would be interested in pursuing is if a commissioner would like to take on the project to work with you to flesh out those ideas and as you solidify them a little more, make recommendations to us about how to proceed. I think expanding the awareness of public art figures predominantly into our long-range strategic plan. So I think your work is really valid, and I really appreciate the effort that you're taking to highlight each piece. It's a huge undertaking. And for those that may not be as familiar with Peter's work as I am, as soon as he moved to town, what, maybe 25 years ago, was it, Peter?
29
years ago. Okay. You hired me to paint your interior right after you moved here. And I was impressed by the sign that you had on top of your light switch that said "Walk Ashland," and I commented to you then that, you know, this has been on your radar ever since the beginning to explore all the streets, and you've kept up with it through all these years. And now, as you're focusing on the public art, I think it's really valuable, and we're fortunate to have you working on that. And I just wanted to express my gratitude. How are the commissioners feeling about wanting to work on this project? Does that resonate with anybody?
I'll talk for a minute. Just a minute. Okay, I'm not muted. So, Peter, I love your list. It's fabulous. So many ideas. It blows my mind. And just thinking about what's feasible, what you're willing to do, what the whole commission's able and willing to do is also a big part of it. There are some interesting things here that I think could develop that you just really blew me away with. And that, for instance, is a walking tour. Thinking about the fact that we have, I don't know who it is, but who gives a walking tour of the park? And I think that happens a lot. I don't think we need to do something a lot, but finding out, maybe the Parks Commission is sort of the place to start, but how do these walking tours happen? Is there a group of volunteers who are in love with the park that that are docents, you know, and then I'm thinking, okay, so what if there was a monthly walking tour of a choice piece, you know, a few choice pieces of public art to start that happened, trying to include or get docents who love public art, not just us, to be active and part of that walking tour. So that I thought was really interesting. I think everything you're suggesting is great. Of course, it just takes manpower, time, and the abilities to make them happen, but terrific.
Anybody else?
I can volunteer photographic services if you need them, Peter. If you don't have coverage of stuff, you know, I'm a pretty good photographer and have good equipment.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, I think this is a really valid project to assign to somebody. And as I look at the workload spread between the commissioners, the projects that I'm aware of, I would ask Jeff directly. Jeff, is this something you'd be willing to hop in on and work with Peter on?
Well, I'd like to. I just don't know how. Since I don't use the computer very much, if there's something I could do that's computer related, probably, yes. I certainly like the theme and the concept I dig, and I would love to add my new perspective to things. So I'm 100% there. I just don't know if I have the skills to maybe satisfy some of the needs.
Andy?
Yes.
I would be happy to work with Peter.
Okay.
To the best of my abilities. I mean, I think that if we could talk more and maybe focus on one or two of these ideas and go from there, I'm happy to do that.
Super, super. Thank you, Jennifer. Let's consider yourself assigned. Thank you. Thanks so much, Peter. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your work.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I do agree with Peter. I definitely feel like what a terrific opportunity to take this to service clubs. Not only Peter's finesse in writing and talking about specific works in depth, but I also love the PowerPoint and think that it's a perfect merging. Perhaps a smaller version of that PowerPoint would be a perfect addition.
Peter, you are aware that that's the intention of the PowerPoint presentation, to present to service groups and perhaps schools. I mean, we've yet to really flesh out all the people that are on the receiving end of the PowerPoint, but you are aware that that was the goal of that project, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, it's just that it is so comprehensive, in itself, that it doesn't leave a lot of time for other activity. I mean, the whole discussion would really be focused around the PowerPoint. Possibly it could be tied in maybe with one piece of public art, but it's a powerful tool and definitely people will love it.
They will. It's worth mentioning the incredible amount of time that it took to develop that. And when we want to talk about, if you're talking and suggesting a pared down version, if we look at the folks that have already logged in so much time on that, they're probably asking themselves whether they've got the strength to make yet another iteration of the presentation. Folks, how do you feel about that?
Well, Well, if I could chime in. Hi, Peter. How you doing? Tom Furmark here. to take a presentation that we have right now and to bring it down in size or bring it up in size, that sort of thing. I think now that we have this core piece, especially paring it down for a use that cuts back maybe, well, I don't know, 50-60% of the time that we now have built into it as far as a presentation, is not the most difficult thing to do. And given a little bit of guidance, which slides would you like to show, it's relatively easy to basically turn off slides that you're not going to show. So for instance, it would be easy for me, for instance, if that's where we want to go, to just take a slide deck and use the tool that just turns off certain slides. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to just literally delete the slides that are determined to be access and then save it as a smaller version. That's easy to do too. And it gives us that other file then that in the future when we need something small, there it is ready to go. So there's a couple of ways to do it and it's not hard at all.
Okay.
But Tom, that would be something that would be done after the voiceover is recorded, correct? Because my understanding from that conversation last time was that the voiceover is going to be recorded in segments and embedded with the slides so that as you edit a deck, the voiceover seamlessly works for that presentation. Was that not correct?
Yes and no. So I may be wrong, Peter, but it seemed to me you were suggesting maybe having a member of the commission that you were going to do it. I thought, Peter, you were thinking of doing the presentation rather than using the recordings. That's why maybe I misread that.
Oh, I see.
If that were the case, it's easy to delete or turn off slides. If, Peter, if what we were thinking was having a standalone presentation that could play on its own, but smaller in size, that could happen as well. But that would have to happen after we get the recordings done, which we haven't, obviously we're not to that point yet. But yes, so when we have recordings, just a real quick overview, if one long recording, let's say from Tony, and then what I would do is slice up the recording so that the pertinent recording to a particular slide had that file in that slide. So let's say you didn't want to have that slide in a presentation, you wanted to jump to the next slide, there would be no issue with the audio because each slide has its own recording. So if we go that route, once the recordings are in hand and sliced up and dispersed among the presentation, it can be handled that way as well. But I may have got you wrong, Peter, but I thought you were saying that you were thinking about doing a presentation that was, that you would be doing the audio, the narrative for a presentation. So in either way, with the recordings, there's going to be some time before we have that. Otherwise, just you or somebody else using the PowerPoint and doing the presentation, doing the narrative, certainly is available before the recordings are available.
Question. I had thought that the presentation was going to be self-playing. Is it your intention to have a self-playing version and a version that a presenter could manually change slides from slide to slide?
What do you think, Sandy? Do you want to chime in?
So we talked about yes, an individual presenter before we're into Zoom meetings for local organizations, for instance, who is our beginning target audience. Now our thinking is that a member of the commission would be present via Zoom, introduce the presentation and be there for follow-up questions. So That's the way we're thinking of doing it right now. And I think that it would work well and easily. It's just critical, I think, to have a knowledgeable public art commissioner there, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of random questions.
I would just like to clarify, Tom, that I think the presentation is so beautifully done that I would not want to talk over it. I would just want to have a shortened version using the narration.
Okay. We're not there yet, but we'll get there soon.
Yeah.
And I'll just add that, considering the fact that Peter has so many great ideas, maybe he and I can have another discussion and maybe choose one or two of these great ideas and sort of run with them. And they may coincide nicely with this idea of a presentation, but also we might choose to do something a little more more local friendly, like let's meet and have walking tours, let's have an artist stop, you know. So there, I think that Peter's involvement here is great, and I agree. I think this PowerPoint is terrific and has its own role as both a 20-minute presentation or a shortened version. Let's not change or stop one or the other. Allow it to be how it happens and keep it going and continue to have the voiceover. I look forward to working with you, Peter. I think we can really kind of flesh out a couple of your ideas.
Thanks, Jennifer. This seems like an appropriate time to just jump ahead a little bit to other business. As you talk about the walking tour of public art in Ashland, we have brochures that are in the packet. I hope you've looked at them. I called the Chamber of Commerce this week just to check in. I checked in with them last year to get an idea on how the supply was holding out. And they thought they probably had enough to last until the 4th of July of last summer. And then comes along COVID-19 and tourism affected greatly, negatively, obviously. And so it puts the that question back up on our plates. How do we want to deal with the brochures? The Chamber of Commerce says they've got about 3 cases left. They anticipate that supply lasting through spring and probably summer of 2021. They said given COVID, there's a lot more interest in outdoor activities. So they've been sending out a lot of these brochures, and people have been using them. I did a little research into who the artist was that worked on this. Her name is Molly Ochoa. And my question would be whether we want to have a new batch of brochures printed up as is, given the fact that we've got a few projects that are in development. Threshold Velocity and the MAP project are not included on this brochure. The MAP project is, advancing, and there'll be plenty of new things to add to that. So as it stands right now, it would cost about $800 to have 1,000 brochures printed up as is. $900 for $1,500. That's option one. Option two would be to involve a designer again, perhaps Molly, since she's already worked on it. She charges $50 an hour to add to bring the brochure up to date. And the question on that is obviously whether we want to wait for that update until after the hub sculpture goes in and the 5 medallions go in. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, for me, it's a no-brainer. I think that given the idea that the current brochures will last through spring and into summer, by that time, perhaps we'll be far enough along in both projects the medallion and the hub sculpture, that they can be added, because I think we would be, so, you know, we print up however many, 2,500, and then it's a long time before we get a chance for revision. So it seems to me that we would regret not being able to publicize the map project as far along as it is, because they're both kind of examples of how the map project plays out, the spokes and the hub. So I recommend we wait until, you know, at least spring, and let's look at it again then and see where we are and what we think the timeline might be to have the projects installed and available.
Stanley?
Can you remind me what the format of this brochure is? It like an 8.5 by 11, two-fold, printed both sides?
It's in the packet for you to look at. It is... it's trifold. It's an 8.5 by 11 trifold.
11 by 17 trifold, right? Yeah. So I was. Do you know if it's printed offset? Is that how we did that?
Define offset, please.
I printed on an offset press.
It's for mustard press printed it. So I would assume, yes.
Yeah, I think that if the concern is, in order to get the price per piece down, we have to order a ton of them. There's other technologies that are more print on demand, where we could print smaller batches, and then if there's an edit, a change, we can print the new version without a lot of setup charges that are incurred when you go to an offset press.
Yes, Jennifer.
I agree with Sandy. I think we definitely have already some art to add to it. We are on the precipice of having a few new pieces added. I think it's smarter to wait until spring and revisit this. And it can, A, at that point, be an easy revision with the same artist, or an entirely new, yet probably more expensive creation. So we have two options at that point.
Aaron?
Yeah, I just, for background, can someone help educate me on what the funding mechanism and was for this last time? Was it a public art project last time, or was this done by someone else?
Barry Thalden donated the money to make those brochures happen. And he has come before the Public Art Commission twice, I believe, just checking in with us saying, you guys, I kick this off. It's up to you how you want to proceed with it. So that's why I wanted to ask. And
got it.
I agree with Sandy and Jennifer and Stanley that this could be something, we look at later. There's probably not a huge amount of lead time on the printing time. The quotes, whether it's offset or whatever, Stanley, as I said, 800 for 1,000, 900 for 15, we can address all that as we get closer. And if we were to run out for a week or two or a month or whatever, the world would not get knocked off its wheels, right?
May I add just another note of background? This is and was not a public art project, commission project. Barry, on his own, created the entire project. All the Public Art Commission did was sign off that we sort of approved it. Not even that, So this is really a new undertaking. And so I don't know if there's any reason to affirm that we want to take this on, do it in the same format, however you want to look at it. But Barry has continually, put this on our plate over and over again as time has gone on. but I just really want you to know that it is not something that the Public Art Commission created or actually approved.
Okay, that's part of my question, is whether whether we do want to eventually reprint them and thereby taking it on as something. How do you feel? How does everybody feel about it? Do you want to just wait until spring and talk about it then? Or
I think that's a good idea.
I agree.
I think it's be a good idea to wait and get the new additions of the new things that are going to be happening.
For sure.
And then add those things to a new version. And since there are already a good supply of them now, I think it's just exciting to wait to add to the next step or version of the development of the walk.
Okay. We'll move that forward to summer. On the PAC work plan, item B, the selection panel criteria, what you have in your packet, I pulled from our handbook. It certainly is not pressing yet. I just kind of wanted to give you guys a heads up so that you can begin thinking about recommendations for people on that selection panel. And we will revisit that after the RFQ goes out. And as we see how that process develops, then I want to revisit that then. Yes, Aaron.
So the RFQ is scheduled to go out in 2 weeks, with the close period, I believe, is December the 9th for submissions. So that would say to me, we would want to, and keep in mind our next meeting of the PAC Commission is not until November 20. So it does feel like it is actually rather pressing, because what time period do you see the postcards and the notice going in the newspaper prior to selecting those people? I'd like to have an idea of timeline here.
Sandy, can you chime in on that, being involved with that from before?
So of all the RFQs that I was part of submitting, I don't recall, that's neither here nor there. The panel will not meet until, I think, mid-February, if you look at the timeline. So we have really plenty of time to do the advertising. I think the discussion of who we want really warrants some time. In the past, we didn't really depend heavily on the postcards. We looked to neighbors of consequence to a project. And we also wanted to select individuals who we knew would look at a project from the point of view of the criteria, rather than whether they liked it or not. So that spoke to, finding individuals who were involved in the art community on one level or another. And so we pursued those people. We asked them to if they would participate and included them in the mix, and then took a look at what we got in the mail. And I can't even remember anybody responding, but whomever comes, based on the advertisement, plus the individuals that we want, and Scott Flory, we need a Ashland administrative person, and we've always had Scott Flory, who is, now interim engineering chair, I think, engineering department head, who has
public
sat
works.
In public works, thank you, and has really participated fully and appropriately. So we're looking for someone who can view the project appropriately. So I think in the next month or two, we should start pulling together those names of people that we really want to see on the panel.
So I guess I would ask each of the commissioners to think about that and make their own list. And when we do add that as an agenda item to discuss, bring that forth at that time. I will say that when I made the presentations to the Parks and Rec Department, I did it twice. I did mention to them that I thought it was appropriate for one of the parks commissioner to be on the selection panel since the hub sculpture will be placed down there. And another portion of that, since we are in partnership with the Historic Commission on this project, I felt it appropriate to have somebody from the Historic Commission on the selection panel as well. So we can, you know, hash all that out at a later point, but I did want to mention those two spots. Anything else on that subject before I move on? Okay. Also in your packet was the printout from our strategic planning session in November. So again, in March, along comes COVID-19, and we, you know, were not able to meet for about 6 months. So personally, I don't feel that our situation has changed drastically from what we were evaluating last November. And I question whether we need to go through that entire process or pretty much just look at our key items and see how that's been affected by the virus and make any small changes to our strategic plan that way. How do you feel about that?
I personally think that's an appropriate way to approach it.
Okay. Anybody else? Sandy, do you feel that having authored that document, do you feel that it's remains current now that we just proceed?
So I think we could consider taking time in a meeting or devoting an entire meeting to just working through it again and then scheduling what we think that we can do. You know, we worked on it based on a quarterly scheduling. Right. And so obviously that's all shot to heck. So I think, you know, looking at it again for what we appropriately think we can, you know, actually complete given all the circumstances,
yeah,
is the right way to go. Otherwise, you know, we're just like, you know, we have no impetus to move forward.
Yes. Well, I would suggest that we make that a key agenda item for our November meeting. Sound good to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's see, moving on to item 7, other business that I didn't cover on the brochure. Regretfully, news came down this week that Tom has resigned, and I want to thank Tom for all his service. Your work on the PowerPoint presentation has just been fantastic. I think everybody's really excited about that, and you were instrumental in making that happen, and I just can't thank you enough for all the work on that. Tom has announced that his intention is for the 9th of November to be his final day. He would like to see some of the projects he's been working on. He'd like to follow through on that up until 11/9, meaning the edits on the PowerPoint. He also mentioned the e-blast effort. Let's see, it said you can edit the recordings and insert into the PowerPoint after November 9th if necessary, but hopefully before Thanksgiving holiday. So I think all that needs to be determined in how the whole voiceover recording process happens. If there's somebody else that can take that on and relieve you of that burden, then you can potentially get your freedom back on the 9th. And thank you so much. And you're a fantastic artist, and I can't wait to see what you start producing with the additional time on your hands. So.
Well, if I could just say that it's been an honor, a real privilege to be with you guys for, I think I got on the commission when I was 16 or 17, so it's been about 50 years now, it just seems that way. I guess it's only been, I don't remember what, 2017, I believe. Anyway, I've enjoyed being on the commission, and I do see an opportunity to be able to focus more on my art. I shared with Sandy that I had just finished a painting that I started when COVID kind of hit. And I hadn't had anything to work on in that regard, or hadn't been able to get to a point where I felt like I had something I had passion towards. So during this whole period of lockdown, if you will, I was able to work through a painting, and it was motivating to return to something that I wanted to do. So I want to spend more time doing that. Regarding the projects, yeah, we can go forward. Even if I'm not on the commission, I have I have all the desire in the world to work with you all, at least as far as the presentation goes and how the e-blast comes about. I threw the 9th, 11, November 9th as a, you know, an ending date, if you will, but it's more or less, you know, a willingness to finish up like with the e-blast, make sure that's moving along. And then the back end that comes in after the e-blast goes out, which we might be a few days after that. I don't know. None of us knows when we'll have the recordings yet either. So, I do want to help with those two pieces as we move forward. And the holiday is likely tied, for me, is likely tied to it's going to be a car trip that would take some time into December. But I do want to stay in touch, and I do want to be considered a resource if I can, as wind down through some of these projects. So, but anyway, thanks. Thank you all for, it's been a great time. I know some of you are basically newer to the commission, but it's been a great time. The whole time I've been with the commission.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
So as such, previously we were aware of filling Allison's vacancy, and Laura, thank you for your interest in that and for being here. My suggestion, if after this meeting you would are still interested in pursuing that, Steve, our council liaison, had kind of set up a procedure for new commissioners, and that would be for myself and Jennifer and Steve to meet with you and just kind of talk a little bit more about what you'd like to how you'd like to contribute, how you see your role, and just, you know, what it looks like on our end, the work that we do, and just make you a little more familiar with it. We would like to do that before the process will be for you to fill out an application, which will go to the mayor for him to make the decision on. And our part would just be to make our recommendation to the mayor. So I hope that we could have that meeting with you before he receives the application and we can make our recommendation. So I would encourage you to, if you still are interested in doing this after the meeting to reach out to me and we'll make that happen.
Okay. All right.
So in terms of...
I have the heat on.
I'm sorry. In terms of Tom's vacancy, I guess my suggestion would be to, you know, folks, if you've got somebody in mind, think about it. Sandy, the process, I mean, I think about when I was asked if I would consider being on the commission, it was just an informal, what do you think about this? And I came and attended a meeting and moved forward from there. Is there any more of a formal process that you would suggest we go through at this point?
Did you direct that question to me? I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, I think that that's appropriate. I have always felt that it was really beneficial for someone like Laura, who is interested, to come and see how the, you know, hopefully become excited about the projects that the commission is involved in and see the level of work, both in the meeting itself and the homework that generally precedes that and is ongoing, and look at the commissioners and get a feel for, you know, a collaborative effect. And, you know, just make a general assessment that they're really comfortable moving forward for, we hope, a 3-year period. So I think once a prospective commissioner goes through that process, and plus at the other end, the conversation, personal conversation with you and Jennifer and Steve, you know, I think everybody will be really comfortable that it's going to work or it's not going to work. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. That meeting may be redundant. So, one of the things that I thought was awesome about Laura was that working with Stanley, you've got the internet savvy to, as I understand it, this e-blast and the way this RFQ is going to work will take a little bit of management on the back end. Is that correct?
Probably. I mean, I think in my company, I'm not the guy that does that. I don't know if you guys know that Jim Teese is one of our partners, and he's really, really savvy about that stuff. And I, you know, I think he mostly works with MailChimp, but I do know that it's not difficult. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
I was kind of hoping that after Tom left that you would at least be able to kind of have your thumb on the pulse on how that process is working. Sure. And if Laura joins the commission, I see great potential there where the two of you could perhaps manage that.
Yeah.
If you're willing.
I would certainly be willing to take that on.
Yeah. Super. Thank you. Well, it sounds to me like I can release you all from school a half hour early, I think. On good behavior. So is there anything else that you would like to discuss briefly before we sign off? Okay. Well, thank you very much. And our next meeting will be November 20th.
Stay safe, everybody.
Yep.
You too. Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Tom, before you go real quick, I was wondering if you would be available this afternoon to touch base on a couple of things about getting the RFQ out the door.
Yes. You want to call or you want me to
Yeah, we can do it over the phone. Do you mind if I give you a call around, say, 1?
I think that's going to work, yeah.
Okay, terrific, terrific. We'll touch base then.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right.
See you, Andy.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.